Good morning. Welcome to Lincoln County Connections. Thanks for joining us here on Connections. We're coming to you live on KWDP Walport, KBCH Lincoln City, or KNPT Newport. It's great to have countywide coverage every Thursday at 9 here at Yquinna Bay Communications Broadcast Center. On the program, Rob Thomas. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Casey.
Very much a pleasure to have our assessor with us today. And we're going to get familiar with the work the assessor does and learn more about real market value, assessed market value, maximum assessed value. Rob, these terms, it really does make sense if you break it down.
Well, sure. Sometimes very late at night, if you really can't go to sleep, you might open up the Oregon Constitution there and turn to Article 11. And that's where you'll find Measures 5 and 50 that was proposed by an initiative petition of folks here in Oregon in the late 90s. So, yeah, that would be a great thing to read if you were into boring administration, I guess.
Well, you know, it's so critical, though, to our property taxes and our property values. And at a convention I visited once that you had here, bringing in assessors from, you know, across the state, I forget the gentleman's name, but he really tried to distill that history of how, you know, since Measure 50, you sort of have this stability. You were assessing prior to that, though. And so how has it changed just in general to you?
Well, generally speaking, I think we've traded fairness for stability. And it seems to be working. I don't know the why of it, but as long as folks aren't as concerned with what their neighbor is paying, I think they feel a little better about the current system simply because they're more easily able to predict what their own tax bill will be. And so I know there's been a lot of talk, particularly in Portland, about the changing the system. I'm not sure that it's come to the point where we need to, because, again, there's seems to be more satisfaction because of the predictability of the system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in that discussion of change, we're really talking about a change that would happen at the legislative level. Maybe you could break that down for us, because there are decisions you guys make at a local level, but this is really coming from the top down. Can you talk about that?
Legislation could change the system a tiny bit, but not much. And the reason why is because the legislature can't legislate the Constitution. Mm. And the initiative petitions brought forward that created Measures 5 and 50 are found in our Constitution, and therefore it would take a constitutional change in order to change our system very much. The legislature can legislate small bits and pieces in our system that aren't found in the Constitution, but it wouldn't be a major change at all that the legislature could make.
Setting forth the standards in the Constitution, can you give us just sort of a history about that and how those that system evaluating property was established?
Well, I think it was established for the same reason that the system has changed since Oregon statehood, that is, dissatisfaction with the system. And based on what I see now, that most of that dissatisfaction probably comes from the lack of stability. People simply weren't able to predict what was going to happen. As values went up rapidly, their tax bills went up rapidly, and they weren't prepared for that. And the more time you give people to prepare for their tax bills, the more likely they are to be ready. That is, sometimes they need to know that their tax bill is going to be more or less so that they can spend more or less and budget for it. And it's those horrible surprises, I think, that creates the majority of the dissatisfaction, and that's why the system we have now, which is far from perfect, seems to have garnered a little more satisfaction simply because of that stability.
So prior to 50, what kind of swing could you see in change? Because now it's capped at 3%. I mean, extreme could it be?
Yes, it has been in the past extraordinarily extreme. It wouldn't have been uncommon to see values change 20% in 1 year, and a 20% increase in your taxes in 1 year would be not just unexpected, but sometimes an economic disaster for folks if they weren't planning in advance for it, particularly if you don't pay it on time, then it's not mm-hmm. just the amount of money, it's the interest as well that accrues. So predictability is very important in this system.
So when you see us now with that predictability, what are the trade-offs? What would you see as maybe, you know, being a common dissatisfaction with what happens when it comes to valuation?
Well, yeah, the predictability and the 3% cap certainly goes in favor of the taxpayer. However, it has trimmed down government over time, and that continues to be the case. And because we're getting less outside monies, for instance, from the federal government, it's creating a situation where government, generally speaking, is providing less service. And so I think that trend is going to continue under this current system. So mm-hmm. then the question is will we hit a point where the taxpayers will decide that they're not getting enough services or the right
yes.
services, particularly in the area of schools right now? Will they demand change? And I think that's what we're all kind of waiting for, to see if there is a demand.
Well, we're talking to Rob Thomas. He is the Lincoln County Assessor. Listen to Lincoln County Connections. We'll be back in just a moment. Thanks for joining us on Lincoln County Connections. I'm Casey Miller, Lincoln County's Public Information Officer. We have Rob Thomas here today with us in the studio, and he is Lincoln County's Assessor. If you were listening to us in the earlier part of the program, we've been kind of doing a history of Constitution and legislatively how we've came to our property tax valuation. But Rob, let's talk about your office, because you've got a team of people out there working very hard to make all of this work. And generally, you consider the department to have sort of three sections. How are you structured?
I do, yes. We are in three sections. We have an operations section, which is responsible for most of the paperwork and the very, very complex recipe to turn the roll each year, manning the phones, answering those kinds of questions for a number of programs. I think we have altogether 127 legislated programs in property tax, which is strange. Obviously, in Lincoln County, we don't have examples of every single one of those, but there's a lot there. Then we also have the appraisal section, which is mm-hmm. responsible for valuing and capturing the data of all the real and personal property around the county. And finally, we have our cartography section, which I guess as simplistic terms is our map makers, but more importantly, they track ownership. We have to know who owns what in order mm-hmm. to decide who's going to get the tax bill. So we track all the sales and property transfers, and not to mention the subdivisions and condominiums and partitions. All of those have to go into our tax roll to determine which accounts are owned by whom.
And what about your duck beaver issue up there? I mean,
Do
people get along?
Well, they seem to get along. I think we have some areas that are probably platypus areas, because we have ducks and beavers, and I've heard a little bit of hissing, but I think they're getting along okay right now.
Well, you know, you've got your appraisers out in the field, and you know, the first time I saw a gentleman sort of, you know, standing and looking and kind of measuring, I thought, who is that guy? But your team's out there all the time. And just to put out there for people who, when they see an assessor, you can talk to them and ask them what's going on, and they're very approachable.
I certainly hope so. That's the idea. They're expected to be approachable. They're just doing a legislative job. They're gathering data to try mm-hmm. to figure out what's going on. And a lot of their evaluation is based on January 1. That's what we call our discovery date. That's the date at which we value the property for the ensuing tax year, and that's the date that we collect information as to the condition of the property on that day, even though we may not have been there on that day.
And coming up, looking through January and April, are also the exemption periods, and why are those critical?
Oh, gosh, yes. For as always with the tax year, we have to do everything in advance before the tax year gets there. So after January and before April 1, you would need to apply for any of your exemption programs for the ensuing tax year. That gives us a chance to not only administrate the paperwork that we need to do to change the role, but also to send an appraiser out to see if the property is being used based on what the claim mm-hmm. says. So yes, any of your religious or charitable or theatrical or scientific types of exemptions should be applied for after January 1 and before April 1 for the ensuing tax year.
Right. So you've got that window. These are kind of the coming things. Well, you talk about red tags before, and I'm not sure if that's an internal term or that's something that the public understands. What does that mean?
Well, that is an internal term. It is something that in years past we put a physical red tag on the account. Well, we have everything in the computer now, so actually there's just a little code that's put in the computer that lets us know that that property needs attention. And during the year, all year long, we receive copies of building permits from the county and the various cities and other information that allows us to know that there's some sort of activity going on at that property that needs an inspection. So all year long we collect data, code properties, and go out and look at them as the opportunity comes about, because our valuation date for that is January 1, but obviously we can't be at every property on that date, so it's pretty much a year around.
So if I have, say, removed a structure from my property or added structures, made changes, I can contact the office and see if that data has been processed yet?
Absolutely, and I would certainly recommend that. That's what you should do. Hopefully we will know about it already, but there's plenty of cases when we don't, particularly folks who have removed an old shed or something that we would have no idea about. And if you want us to get that off your record, you should let us know. Hopefully we'll find it anyway, but please call in, let us know. We'll tag that property to make sure somebody goes out there and removes it. Same thing for burning down structures or any other reason they might be removed.
Yeah. Okay. We're talking to Rob Thomas. He's your assessor, Lincoln County. We'll be back in just a moment on Connections. Welcome back to Lincoln County Connections. Lincoln County Assessor Rob Thomas here on Connections this morning. Rob, we were talking about your appraisers out in the field, looking at the properties, January 1st date coming up, a critical date. But when they're out in the field, they're also looking at neighborhoods. So what are they looking for in a neighborhood?
Well, I guess they're data collectors, basically, and they compare the data they collect to Oregon's Cost Factor book, which is a book that's produced by the Oregon Department of Revenue for the entire state. And mm-hmm. each county uses that same book, but they need to adjust that book to their specific area. So appraisers look for sales and contractors out in the field. They all turn that data in, and then, of course, we process that data to create what's known as a local cost modifier for that factor book. So what they're doing in the field is not only looking at a specific property, but looking at the costs of creating new properties as compared to what our factor book says, so we can make sure that we make adjustments for our specific area or neighborhood.
Yeah, another piece to the equation. And really an important piece in looking at your value. Well, maybe since we have a short time left, Rob, we could talk about some of the other resources the department offers. I've found myself using, you know, Quick Search quite a bit. And describe what that is and how that can be a first stop for folks.
Well, because of the way our computer system has worked, we can't offer direct access into our computer system. So we have what's known as a quick search on the internet. So you can access property accounts on the internet through quick search. And to access that, you would go to our webpage, which is, let me give you this, www.co.lincoln.or.us. Or just put it into your browser and search for Lincoln County, Oregon, and I'm sure it'll pop right up there for you. Go to the assessor's office and look for quick search. Now, it's interesting. This is not live data. What it is once a year we capture this data when the tax roll is certified. The reason we do that once and only once is because during the year we're making changes constantly to that data. And once the roll is certified, we start making changes for the next year. And so if you had a look at our live information, some of it would be accurate and unchanged, and some of it would be in process for the ensuing year, which wouldn't actually be correct. So that's why we don't update it any more often at this time.
Well, given the availability of the data through Quick Search, in what case would I want live data compared to what was there?
Well, if you're, say you were in the market and hunting for information on a home that you thought you might want to buy, to get the most accurate data that we have, you would want to come into our office or call in and ask for a look at our records there, because someone may have been out there and found that there's change, particularly in properties that might be for sale. That's one of the most common things, because people remodel and change properties when they are offered for sale. And many of those changes don't come with building permits, so we may not know about it. So that's the kind of circumstance that would require live data.
Now, it seems like many times a year I update your sales information. Who's using that information that's online?
We have a sales data analyst that creates those, and it looks at all the sales during the year, and we provide those also online, mostly realtors and appraisers and folks from the banks use that kind of information, and sometimes planners as well.
So the website also has some trends, who pays, and that's updated each year, too, and that's good information people are looking for as well.
Yeah, a lot of folks probably don't know a lot about the system, and just if you're browsing to try to find out what's going on in real property in Lincoln County, you might look around at some of the data there. We have, like, the top 10 taxpayers if you want to know who's the big player in this county. Also, who's paying what. Broken down by types of property, how much of the total tax bills are being paid. So I wanted to mention, too, while we're at it here, just to give you an order of magnitude, this year, just under $98 million is what was assessed in Lincoln County this year, and that goes out to about 74 levying authorities. Of course, some of the big players would be the county and the cities and the school districts, but there are many, many small districts, too, that get their share of this tax money, road districts and health districts and ports and hospitals and, gosh, again, 74 of them in this county. Now, one property wouldn't be paying into all of those for sure. It's based on your geographic area and the services that you have. So it's a complex system.
Well, Rob, thank you so much for coming on the show today and educating us more about what you do in the assessor's office. If you're listening to us, remember there's a lot of great information online. We're out of time. We have to go. Go to Lincoln County's website where you can find Quick Search with the Lincoln County Assessor and other resources. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you same time, same place next week.